Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. If you have a Bible, we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Beautiful out there, 41 degrees. We're all like t-shirts, shorts, runners, bicycles are out. You know something's wrong with us when 41 degrees makes us do that. It's been a long winter, but glad you are here this morning. This month is Family Month at the River Church, and I love the graphic that we've been using that just is the foundations of the family. I think is so good. When you look at this, it shows a house built upon the rock. It shows, and as we've studied, we're studying what is it? What is the foundation of the family? What does that look like? What is the truth? And working through some hard passages, and what does it mean in submitting to the Lord and submitting to one another? What does it mean for a role of the wife, role for a husband? And then we look at children and parenting. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But the Lord is teaching us, right? We have God's word to grow us in this foundation, to help us understand what the foundation of family is. Many of you know I've had a wonderful knee problems the last couple months, and I had surgery, and so now they sent me to PT, so physical therapy, and they do all the things to work you out, and then they tell you to get up on this like ball and balance, right? They're just like, okay, balance, all right. You know, like this foundation is preaching and standing on this is real difficult. I'll let you know. But the foundation, I remember getting on this, and if you know me at all, I mean, you get, and they have like these rails that you can grab onto, and you can touch the ground. And if you know me, I'm not touching those rails. I have to win. I don't know what winning is, but I think, how long is the timer going to go? I got a minute. I'm not touching the ground. It's just something. I look over the 85-year-old next to me, and I'm like, I'm going to beat you, right? I don't know. It's just who I am. But the thinking of this and seeing this, the foundation. When the foundation is shaky, you go to physical therapy to go, okay, how can you get strength? How can you find other areas to help you when the foundation is weak? And what can you grab onto? I think about that with family. If our foundation isn't firm and strong, how many times we reach out to other things? What are other things that can help? If my foundation is not Christ, I'm going to find something else. I'm going to find another way. I'm going to find other help. And it doesn't work. The Bible gives us the truth about family and the foundations of family being upon Christ. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, we have Jesus preaches a sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It is the longest sermon of Jesus we have. It's Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. It is beautiful. It is heavy. It's wonderful. We see the love of Christ, the truth of Christ. And at the end of the sermon, Jesus gives us a parable. He gives us an illustration to illustrate what it looks like for somebody really to have their life on the foundation of him. He says this, so Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Again, the illustration, the parable is Jesus says, someone who has a life that's built upon me, he uses the picture of a house. He says, a house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, or does not do them, will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Here, Jesus, in describing our lives, he says, if we're going to have a life that is going to stand, we must follow his word. He likens the rock to following the teachings. And so we have God's teaching. And what is so interesting, author by the name of Scott Pace pointed this out, that in the illustration of showing us what does it look like for someone to be built upon Christ, he uses a house. Scott Pace says this. He says, to do this, he did not reference an old generic building or an important government office or even a structure for corporate worship. He chose the house for the parable because it's the most important dwelling place one can envision. He goes on to say the home, it protects that which is most cherished. It serves as a place of personal rest and private refuge and is the base of operation. It's not just the dwelling, but everything it represents. It's interesting when Jesus describes a life built upon him, he uses a home. And we have been studying, what does a home, what does a family, what does your house look like built upon the foundations of the Lord? Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who built it labor in vain. So let's pray and continue studying, what is the foundation of the family? Lord, I pray for help this morning. I pray you lead me to speak the words you'd have me to speak. But more importantly, Lord, we just pray. Lord, you tell us that the Holy Spirit reveals your truth. This morning, Lord, may we hear your truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 1. We'll read 1 through 3. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some of you perked up and like, oh, I like this sermon. A lot easier than last week. And then you nudged your high schooler. You're like, yeah, that's a good one for you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What is so interesting here as we learn about family is the Bible says this, and don't miss, it says, children. The Bible is to be read to the children. The Bible is to be, like, the Bible, how amazing, speaks to a child. Just as earlier in Ephesians, it says, you who know the Lord were to submit to one another. Wives, and the wives could listen. This is what it looks like. Husbands, this is what you're supposed to look like. And then in this thought of children being with the parents and being taught, the Bible speaks specifically to them. And what you see is the Bible places this great value upon children. Now, you may be here this morning, I look out, and we're all in different places in our family. We're all in different places, different homes. Some of you are like, Pastor, my children are gone, and they got their children have children, and it just keeps going. I understand. And we're all in different places, and single, and divorced, but I want you to just hear the truth, because it's so important here. I don't want you to check out and go, I don't have a child in the home, this is not for me. No, it is. One, we are all children of the Lord. And learning this truth helps us see a father, to understand this honoring and obeying him. But also, the church is a family. When the Bible talks about the church, we're called to help one another. There is this assistance in the church in training up your child. I love our church. We have this focus that we want to come alongside parents to help train up your children to follow the Lord. Right before this gathering, we have a children's Sunday school, and there's this young single lady. She doesn't have children, but every Sunday she's here caring for those kids, teaching those kids. There's a couple in the church, they're older-ish. It can be whatever you want it to be, okay? they're in Florida, which is an older dish move. All right, but they're, so I'm okay. But Roger and Kayla Allen, they don't have children. But every Sunday night, they are here. Those teenagers show up, and they pour their lives into them. They care for them. They teach them. They pray for them. This is the church. I am so thankful. I have a 15-year-old son. I am so thankful for the church. I am so thankful. My son has people in the church who care for him, love him, teach him the word of God, come alongside of him. It is so wonderful. Not just because he's a pastor's kid, because he's a part of this place and there are people in the church. He has other voices, godly voices speaking into his life. It is beautiful and it is wonderful and it is important. And here in the scripture, we see the importance of children. At that time, the value of kids was a little different than it is now. The value of having a girl and being lower than a boy, the value of a child getting in the way. And when we read scripture, you'll find the importance of children. You'll find the amazing love of Christ that he has for kids. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." This picture of trying to shoo the children away, and Jesus is like, no, we're not pushing the children away. Matthew chapter 18 says, "At the same time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and he drowned in the depths of the sea." This is the love. This is the importance that are placed upon children. John Stott, speaking to at those times when this was written, he said, "Unwanted babies were abandoned. Weak and deformed ones were killed. And even healthy children were regarded by many as a partial nuisance, because they inhibited sexual promiscuity and complicated easy divorce." So I just want you to see the amazing importance of placed upon children. I want us to be a church. We celebrate how many kids are a part of this ministry. To look out and to see the kids and to see the teenagers, this is a beautiful thing, a thing that we need to be joyful about, but to see the purpose and to see what the church is called to do in this. Here, the Bible speaks specifically to children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." This word obey literally means to listen under, to consciously listen. In the Bible, throughout the Bible, it speaks of this. Proverbs 23, 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Proverbs 1, 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head." As we continue through the foundation of the family, you again see the submission. One author said it this way: "Submission is a broad category with various types of expression. Obedience being one type of submission. And this distinction appropriately reflects a key difference between a wife's relationship to a husband and the children's relationship to their parents." But in Scripture, we see the call for children to obey their parents. 1 Corinthians 13, 11, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child." All of us who have had children, we know what this means. Matter of fact, all of us know because we act like a child sometimes ourselves, don't we? but to know what it looks like to speak like a child and to think like a child. And so we who are parents, we think of that, like this children, they would rather eat garbage than healthy. They'd rather stay up than go to bed. They'd rather run into danger than run away from it. They'd rather their eyes fall out of their head before taking away the device from in front of them. Now we're getting real. And we as parents are called to lead our children in the love of Christ and to know his truth and to know his way and to know his blessing and to know what he said, what the truth is. And it says, children, obey, to listen, to follow. Children, obey your parents. And I want you to not just skip over this, because for me, as I read this verse, I would just kind of zoom by, in the Lord. Okay, great, in the Lord, let's move on. No, don't miss in the Lord. When I was studying this, I found what was interesting. In Colossians, there's like a parallel passage. So if you want to turn over a couple pages, in Colossians chapter 3, it gives a direction, rules for a Christian household. But when I looked at this in Colossians and also in Ephesians, how many times it mentions in the Lord is unreal. The mentions under the leadership of the Lord. So Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, oh your parents, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Look at verse 23. Whatsoever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, when this comes back to the foundation of the family, it all comes back to the Lord. It all comes back to his love and his grace and his truth and his the foundation of family is based in the Lord. That's why this teaching this morning is not just to meet some practical needs. It's not just to give you some good 1, 2, 3 steps of advice. Because without the Lord being in the foundation, this is all going to fall short. It's when we who know the Lord run back to Jesus and who he is and his love. We run back to the cross of Christ. We get back to that foundation. When we get off as a mess, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, we must run back to the cross. It humbles us. It brings us to a place where he is Lord. And I seek to follow him because he is God. He is King. We run back to the cross of Jesus. We see his love that he died on the cross and rose again. Not just for a little ticket to heaven, for life, for him to be over our lives, to lead our lives, to be the foundation of our family, of our kids, of our parenting, of all of it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And maybe that's the fight for you this morning, if you were honest. Walking through these passages and working to understand these truths, maybe you question whether the Lord is right. Maybe when we talk about the foundation of Christ, you're going, yeah, I think I'm going to find some other things that are going to be more helpful in my family than this foundation, than this truth. And I will challenge you that I believe God's word for us leads us to life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But let's take it one step further. Honor your father and your mother. Now we move to the word honor. It's one more step than obedience. Right? It's not that, fine, I'll do it, mom and dad, whatever. And you walk away and you do it. Because none of us ever answered that way. Or our children never answer that way. When the Bible talks about obedience and following the Lord as a child of God, it's more than that. It's to honor. One defined it, honor goes beyond outward obedience. Honor means to love them, to regard them highly, to show them respect and consideration. Honor is to value them highly, the highest regard and respect. Teaching our children to honor and obey is so important. Because as a Christian, this teaching of honor doesn't end. That as a Christian, I'm called to honor. You may be sitting there going, yeah, I know, I'm called to honor the Lord. No, it goes way beyond just honoring the Lord. The Bible talks about honoring one another. The Bible talks about honoring leadership. Like in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And ready for this one? Honor the emperor. He was a good Christian, godly man. No. Not good leadership. But yet, the Lord, through his word, told believers to honor the authority. To honor one another. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Why this is so important? Because as we grow up, we must grow in honoring one another. We must grow in honoring the Lord. And if we don't learn it as a kid, how much harder is it to learn it as an adult? Now, as we talk about obeying and honoring, some of you, when I say these things, can have a yeah, but, Pastor. Some of you go, do you know what I grew up in, Pastor? Do you know the abuse? Do you know what happened in my home? Do you know what happened over here? Yes. As we read scripture, and we come to honor and obey, this isn't justifying those things. I think one pastor said, he said, anytime the perfect standard of scriptures confronts the imperfect life of people, there is a tension that makes faith necessary and obedience difficult. See, here, when we read this, this isn't a call for children to one said this way, to obey unbiblical, unmoral, illegal commands. That is not what this is saying. This isn't putting children under abuse and just telling them they just need to sit. That is not what it's saying. It is giving the picture of what a husband and wife and how they should love their child. And in that, there should be obedience and honor. I've said this illustration many times, but sin, when sin enters the camp, it's not just a simple, easy fix. Do this one step, and then it's all taken care of. No, sin's much worse than that. Sin is like an entangled fishing line that is all entangled and knotted up. You can pull this one string, you go, okay, we got it. Nope, it knotted it up over here. It made a mess over here, and you spend hours trying to untangle the mess. Why? Sin brings death and devastation. So in this truth, we realize there are some awful, sinful things that have been done to children. And the church needs to be a place of refuge, a place where people can run, a place where people come and are protected and cared for. I'll tell you, I think you'd be surprised how many times we call the authorities. It's much more than you think. Why? Because protecting kids is real important to us. And the amount of kids we work with and care about. And so when things are done, we have trained up our staff. Hey, you have to see things. We are not going to just sweep things under the rug. We're not going to go, oh, it's no big deal. No, these things are a big deal. Protecting kids is important. And so we train up our staff and we spend hours of training of how do you watch for predators out there who come to churches, who want to hurt kids. How do we protect kids? It's important. If you are in a place where you are being abused, I'm sad that the thought in our culture today is the church is not a place to come. That so many times you look on the news and the church has been a place that's abused people. We must run back to the love of Christ and go, how are we a church that sees the importance of kids, to help them, to care for them? And I just want you to know it's really important to us. Why? Because children, when we read in the Bible, they are a blessing from the Lord. They don't always act like it. But we see, right, children of the Lord, we see the creation of God, that God brings life. It is why you'll hear us speak up about abortion. Why? Because life is valuable and important. And so looking at the scripture, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, this is speaking back to the Old Testament, to the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, along with this commandment, there was a promise to the Israelites about receiving the land. And what Paul does through the Holy Spirit really expands this truth that says, if you will be obedient to your parents, there is this blessing. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Here, what does this truth mean? If I obey my parents, I'm going to have a really long life. What I believe this to be saying is there is this general rule that if you are obedient to Christ, it has immense blessing on your life. It doesn't mean that cancer isn't going to come in someone's life or there isn't going to be this accident. But Kent Hughes, I think, explains it well. He says in this general rule, one, children who obey their parents will regularly be warned from harm's way, which means there'll be fewer accidents and less physical trauma. That they will be spared from bad habits and bad friends that tend to ruin and shorten life. That they will be far more likely to develop healthy character traits, whereas a disobedient child is much more likely to develop harmful patterns. And you find this throughout scripture, like Proverbs 4:10. That talks about this obedience and this blessing. Hear my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. What do we see here? There is a blessing in obedience and honor. Parents, this is why we must fight for it. We fight to lead our kids in a way that points them to obedience and honor. Why? Because we want them to be blessed. As I preach, some of you may think, Pastor, in our culture, we don't want to throw away children. We don't want to do that. But what has happened is we've taken it to the other end where we've moved our kids to being idols. We've moved them to a place where we think, well, if I got to tell them that, then they're not going to be happy with that. I don't want them to be unhappy. And we move them to a place where we don't teach them to be obedient. And it's hard to lead them to obedience because they don't like it. Because you know in your soul, you don't like it. But calling them to obedience and honor, and it takes discipline in our life, and it takes us to have to follow through. Why? We want that blessing upon our kids. And when we don't call for our children to be obedient, when we just let them go and everything, we just let it slide by because it's too difficult and too hard, what we are doing, we're taking away that blessing. And if we're honest, we're not giving them a blessing to let them do whatever they want. It's a curse. Children, obey your parents is foundational in the family. Why? Because we made it up? No, because the Lord says this is right. Honoring our parents is not because our society goes, oh, that's nice. No, the Lord says this is right. When the Bible talks about disobedience, so middle schooler and high schooler, this isn't a light thing. When the Bible talks about disobeying parents, it's always put in this heavy place, like in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells when people walk away from the Lord, people who reject the Lord, and it gives a list of those things. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Timothy 3 says this. It says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abused. These are all heavy things. And then it says, disobedient to their parents. It's a dangerous thing. You go back to Romans chapter 1, it says the same thing. Here in the foundation of family, as parents, we're called to love like Christ. We speak these truths to our kids. We grow in God's word and we grow in the foundation of his teaching. Why? So we can speak these truths out loud to our children. When they're learning about Christ, it shouldn't just be in their Sunday school class. It's got to be with us. And we speak these truths to them. And then we do the even harder thing. We live out those truths. We show it. And then, even better, we make church to be an important part of their life so they will have other people in their lives, other adults that will speak it and live it and they'll see it. Why? Because the foundation of family is so important. As I was reading, came across just this thought about dedicating your home to the Lord. As a pastor, I've had times where people would call me and go, we just moved into a new house. Can you come and dedicate this house? And some of you may be like, I don't know. I don't know if I like that biblically. Can you pray for a house? What is that? I'm good to come and pray with people all the time. But a dedication of the home is about seeking the foundation of God's word. The dedication of the home is living out the truths that God tells us. So this morning, as we've walked through the foundation of family, my hope is you'll be personally challenged wherever you're at. My hope is, as a middle school kid, I hope you're challenged. Because I think there's some middle schoolers in here who know the Lord, who need to seek the Lord in this. Hope as a dad, maybe you're challenged to think about, how do I live out this foundation to show this to my son, to show this to my daughter? Maybe it's a grandma. Maybe there'll be a stirring in your heart that you have a kid in your home, but you're like, this church thing about caring for kids, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of praying for kids and knowing their name and talking to them about Jesus. I'll tell you, we got places that we would love to help train you to be able to do that. See, I'd like to be a church that whatever family you're in, we will seek to dedicate our homes to the Lord. Let's stand together. Worship team's going to come. Listen, if we can help you in that, we are here to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, continue to grow us in your word, that we may continue to fight to dedicate our homes to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.